Hi, I'm Tony Thaxton from Ocean City Soundtrack, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
To be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of his new album with the band Motion City Soundtrack called The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World, please welcome drummer extraordinaire, Tony Thaxton. Hey, Tony.
Hello, Pat. I'm both new and classic, your show.
Yes, I'm classic and you are new.
Well, I'm getting more and more classic by the day.
Well, me too. All right, so The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World is out right now, all formats, including vinyl and colored vinyl. How cool is that?
Yeah, a lot of different. I forget how many different ones there are. I think there's like four or five different colors out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are doing the Taylor Swift thing. You want your fans to buy every single one.
I mean, if they want to, I'm not going to stop them.
Do you have copies in your possession? Do you have a vinyl copy for yourself?
I do. I have multiple. I think I have all the colors. I think I have all but one of the colors.
All right. Well, you can collect and trade with your bandmates, probably.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Let me tell people before we get started where you can find everything about Motion City Soundtrack. Go to motioncitysoundtrack.com, on facebook.com/motioncitysoundtrack, and on Instagram @TonyThaxton. And at Motion City Soundtrack. You guys are branded across the board pretty well. So congrats on that.
Thank you so much. Sony, I'd like to thank, but yeah. We won't get into that.
All right. Tony, where are you right now? Los Angeles?
Yes, Glendale, technically.
Okay. So The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World, 11 songs, 35 minutes, all rock and roll, produced by Sean O'Keefe. Tell me who this gentleman is.
Sean O'Keefe is a producer and engineer out of Chicago. We go back a long way with him. In my first year with the band, we had recorded a few songs with him for an EP, a split EP with a band called Shotzi back in the day. I forget how we had even stumbled. It may have been through the Fall Out Boy guys, because we've known them for a long time as well. We just ended up getting hooked up with him somehow, and great guy, great engineer and producer. And I don't even know how the conversations began. I wasn't involved in them for working with him this time. I really love working with him. Great guy, great producer.
And did he get the drum sound that you wanted?
Oh yeah. I think this is my favorite of our records so far, like with the drum sound. Yeah.
All right.
That's very happy. Drums are nice and loud.
Now, since you mentioned Fall Out Boy, I'm going to drop us into the track 3 on the album called Particle Physics, featuring Patrick Stump.
Correct.
From Fall Out Boy. Let's hear a little bit of this. Mm-hmm.
Study particle physics. I just don't get it. Oh, why is there such a lack of connection between the things they say and the subatomic pieces that focus on? It seems algorithmic.
That's a great one. That is an earworm for me on this album. I love that one so much.
Thank you. That's I think a favorite of all of ours. It was great to so Patrick Stump not only sings on that song but also co-writer on that one. It's kind of one of the first times we've really ever used a co-writer. Again, known him for a long time. Another great guy, and he's been a fan of our band for a long time, which is cool. Like I remember 20 something years ago playing the Fireside Bowl in Chicago, and Patrick would be right up front singing along and air drumming all the songs, and that was long before most people knew who Fall Out Boy was.
That's pretty cool. Now, did Patrick actually record with you in studio?
No, he where is he living? I forget where he lives now. I think he might be in Texas now. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I forget. But no, he was not there for it. But it was great. He just did it. I believe he has a studio at home, did it at his studio. And then he really went nuts in the best way with what he sent us then. Cause he just, I think we kind of expected like, oh, he's going to put his vocal on it, but he put his vocal on it and then just so many harmonies, and like there's tons in the song already, and then there's actually some that are really buried in the mix that you barely notice, but then there's also more that were actually taken out because it was like, these are awesome, but it's maybe a little too much at times. But I think he wanted to give us options, and boy did he.
That's pretty cool. And you know what, every time there's a guest on an album lately and I interview the artist, they rarely say that that they're together in the studio, because that's what you can do now. You can send the files around, punch it in.
Yep. It's very easy these days. And that's really how the writing happened for this record was, we rarely got to get to play together in the same room. A lot of these songs even, were kind of like half written when we got in the studio and kind of finished them up in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's also a video in the animation style of, I think, Steamboat Willie type.
Yeah, it's in that ballpark, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. And Patrick Stump is in the video, too, animated.
Yeah, and real. He's the real guy's in there, too.
Real. Yeah. And who did the animation? Whose idea? When these videos happen, whose idea is this? Is this the band's idea, or some outside person comes in and says, this is what we're going to do?
It depends on the video. In this one, I'll be honest with you, I am like so not involved in that part of things. So I'm not even positive. I think Josh, our guitar player, and Justin, our singer, they both are very into making videos. And so I think a lot of it came through them. And I don't even want to say, because I can't remember the guy's last name. So I'm giving bad info on on how this all came out.
Well, here, give me some good info. So when they come up with a concept, are you that easygoing that you just go, yeah, that sounds cool, let's do that?
Because I here's the thing. I'm gonna speak very bluntly. I don't care that much about videos, if I'm being honest. I don't know. I just am like, how many people are really watching them these days? And for me, a lot of them are a swing. I'm not saying ours. I mean, in general, like there are few videos made in these days that like kind of catch my eye or that I even really watch, if I'm being honest.
Well, this one's a great one. So everyone should go to YouTube or wherever and find Particle Physics and watch it, because it's really fun.
Well, thank you. And I'm not trying to diss videos in general. This is my two cents.
I mean, despite what Tony's negativity is on this video, people still go watch it. So this is actually your first album with the band in a long time, because you didn't play on their last album. So I think it's...
Yeah.
Maybe 13 years since you recorded it. Let me see if I got this right.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the band's first album in 10 years, but it's your first studio album in 13 years.
Yeah.
What was it like getting back in the studio with your bandmates after a decade? I know you guys have been touring, but to be in the studio together and recording, what was that like for you?
It was good. I really enjoy the process of recording, and this one was different though. You know, we hadn't done it in so long, and I've said in some other interviews that I will admit is I was admittedly a little skeptical. Like, we hadn't done it in so long, and we hadn't, you know, really gotten to get together to write, because we all live in different cities and stuff, and so some guys had been sending some ideas back and forth, but you know, not much all of us together there for a while, and I was like, I wasn't sure how I felt about how this was gonna go. And and then even during the process, because I actually was not involved in the early stages of writing at all, except for maybe like one or two songs that we did get together for rehearsing. But most of them were ideas that the rest of the guys were sent back and forth. And then I intentionally wanted to show up at the studio without even hearing the songs. Is that
a good idea?
It works for me.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it works for everybody.
Okay.
I usually can, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I usually can catch on pretty quickly of what's going on and the structure and ideas for parts usually will come to me. You know, some I might want to play with a little more here and there, but I usually bring it together pretty quick for what I'm doing. And again, a lot of the songs weren't completely written, so then we did kind of together work on where it was going to go from there. But I don't like hearing a lot of the demos sometimes if they put any like programmed drums in them or something, because then I get that in my head, and that's usually not what I'm going to want to do. So I prefer to just not hear it. And I'm really happy with the results. So, because I've been getting hired here and there over the last several years doing session work and stuff, and so showing up not prepared has become a lot more comfortable to me.
Okay.
So I've kind of just grown to like that process.
All right, cool. Whatever works. And if they weren't giving you notes, then I guess you were doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I feel confident enough to. It's rare that I feel confident, but in this case, it works out well. And Sean, the producer, was always super supportive of everything I was doing, so yeah, felt like it worked.
Well, you're very confident in your hate of videos, music videos. So
again, just my two cents.
You got that going for you. The album kicks off with "Somewhere a Dark Heart." What does that title mean? Explain it to me. Do you even know?
No, I don't know. I'll go ahead and put this out there too. Don't ask me any lyrical questions, because I'm not going to know the answer. I don't write those. And again, I'm not really a video guy. Weirdly, not much of a lyric guy either with any band.
Okay. Well, let's hear this first. This is track one, "Somewhere a Dark Heart." Let's hear a little bit of this.
Secrets and lies. It's the strangest game I've ever played in my life. Somewhere a dark heart, and sometimes there's nothing to say.
Let me ask you this. I've seen you in concert before, but I don't remember this about you. When you're playing drums live, do you sing along then, since you're not a lyric guy? Do you sing along while you're playing?
Sometimes. And I mean, I also actually sing a lot of the backing vocals.
Right.
So there's some of that, but there's definitely been sometimes, actually recent, I think it was with Particle Physics, because I'm singing some of the harmonies on that live, and I did have to be like, okay, so what are the lyrics here?
Well, you really came in unprepared.
You know, I do what I can, or I don't do what I can.
So the band shares songwriting credits on all the tracks. Is that something that you guys have always done? Favored nations?
Yep. Yeah, we try to really treat things equally amongst us. And we just decided early on that let's all five of us even split everything. So,
I mean, I would assume that cuts down on the arguing when someone's getting a little extra money than someone else.
That was our thinking. Yeah, we thought this seems like this would cause less headaches down the road.
Yeah, I think that's a good deal. Whenever I see, you know, band like U2 and Van Halen, I just feel like Van Halen might not be a good example since they fight about everything. But I always like when I see that favored nations thing, because to be honest, I never really understood songwriting. Like, you're coming up with what the drum part for the song. Why wouldn't you get credit?
Right. Yeah. You know? And there's other stuff to it as well. You know, like, you're maybe writing your own. Although in some cases, sometimes somebody doesn't write their own parts, you know? So there's that with some bands. And then, too, like, you know, you might, maybe you're having input on like what the structure of the song is. Like, let's make this chorus longer, this verse should be shorter, you know, stuff like that. So
gotcha.
There's all kind of elements there.
Now, do the other band members other than yourself help out with lyrics, or is that all Justin, since he's the one that has to sing them?
It's pretty much all Justin, and I know he really likes writing lyrics, and he really stresses out over them, I think. So, you know, there might be like a line here and there that somebody might suggest, like if he's struggling with something or if they just hear something. I know there's been, I can't think of an example right now, but I know there have been even things in the past where early on somebody thought he was saying something and then they said something and he's like, oh, that's not what I was saying, but I like that better. So
that's
there's those
fun
things too. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you go to the show, you know, I can air drum and people can air guitar, but the real feedback comes from when the audience is actually singing those lyrics to the band.
For sure. Yes. And we're very lucky with that. And we have very loud crowds singing along almost every word.
100%. All right. Track two, She Is Afraid. I'm not going to ask you what she's afraid of because you don't know. I'm not even going to ask you. I'm just going to play.
That's
it.
Good. Let's skip them lyrics, like I said.
Yep.
I
can't ignore it. All these feelings I've felt have been working against me, man, since I've been alive. It's kind of funny, strange, I never saw it. Unless somebody spells it out, I never understand. At least that's how it feels. She is afraid of the sound.
Tony, how long have you been drumming? Because you're very good at it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Pretty much my whole life. I just grew up around it. My dad was a drummer also. He always was in a cover band for, well, at least for like the first 13, 14 years of my life. So I just was around it a lot. And he didn't necessarily show me things. I just kind of picked up on it through the years. Yeah. And then as I got older, started taking lessons and stuff. But yeah, for the longest time, I was just self-taught.
And is your dad still with us?
Unfortunately, I lost my dad about 4 months ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Tony.
Thank you.
He was obviously thrilled with your success, though.
He was seriously like my number one fan and just nothing but supportive and loved coming to shows and seeing us play. And yeah, so this is all, it's been a little bittersweet with this new record because he never even got to hear it.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it just came out a few weeks ago and that was, you know, it was a bittersweet day because it was just, you know, he was always so supportive and just having like this, you know, new big thing coming out like that and then he's not there is just, yeah, it's been a weird time.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine that would be a weird time, especially, you know, growing up with his drumming and then him being a fan of yours. So,
yeah,
that is tough. I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you.
So, Which of these new songs are you looking forward to playing on stage? Is there one in particular that you're like, you know what, I can't wait to really pound this one out in front of a live audience?
Let's see. Because we've done a few so far. Basically, all the ones that were released before the record came out, we have started playing those. I know we're gonna, not to give away spoilers, but
yes, yeah, there is one. Don't talk about that one. Or is that the one? Is that?
I
the
mean,
one?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
All right. Well, then we'll just wait. We'll just
okay,
wait.
Okay.
We'll hear. Right. That's gonna be our playout song. That Tony has picked. So we'll hear that one in a little bit.
Okay.
So what? How tiring is it playing live on stage the whole show? How, by the end of that set, how do you feel?
I'm definitely sweaty and tired by the end. You know, and also it depends on how far into the tour we are, because it often gets easier, I think, as the tour goes on, just because you start building up that conditioning kind of, and so the shows start flying by a little quicker, because usually those first couple shows, no matter how much I try to prepare myself physically, it's just, you can practice by yourself or even with the band at a rehearsal all you want, but then put a crowd of people in there and it changes everything. You just, you know, you start throwing a lot more energy into it when there's people there.
Yeah.
And no matter how hard I tell myself at a rehearsal, like, all right, I'm going to like put everything into this one, I never do. It's just like, it's getting harder and harder too. Cause I'm, not the youngest person anymore. And, as I approach 50, like, yeah, the things are hurting a lot more than they used to.
Is there stretching involved prior to getting on stage? Okay.
Oh yeah, lots of stretching. Stretching. I know people, like drummers, warm up a lot too. You know, play a little bit backstage, like a practice pad or whatever. And I will do that, but I've found for me that stretching is a lot more important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the tunes. You just need to stretch it out.
Yeah. Exactly.
The tour kicks off on October 23rd in Gainesville, Florida. It's going to run all the way through, I mean, of course, there'll be a little downtime here and there, but all the way through Valentine's Day 2026 in St. Paul, Minnesota, the band's home state. I can see that.
Yeah.
So this is a long run. This is going to be a pretty great tour.
Yeah, it's basically two shorter. Like the Florida thing is actually a festival that we're doing just on its own. So we just fly out for that and then come back home for a few weeks and then we'll start the tour. But yeah, I think it's like two different like 3 week chunks, so it's it'll be good, and that's kind of how we like to do it now that we're all old, is we find that, like, for I don't want to speak for everybody else, but for me, like, 3 weeks is kind of the perfect, it's like the sweet spot, because it's like, that's once you pass week three, that's when I start noticing myself being ready to go home.
With just 3 weeks at a time, you might not even have to do laundry. You might be able to pack 3 weeks worth of laundry.
It's possible. And I don't know if I've ever pushed it that far. I've definitely done 2 weeks before though. Yeah.
Now I know you're making light of, that you're old when you're not really old, even though you're going to be 50. When you see these bands like the Stones out there, what do you think about that? Like, could you even imagine possibly doing this at 75 or 80 years old?
No. And I mean, it would be cool, but I think of it like specifically as a drummer. Like, I think like it's interesting now that, you know, a lot of these like early punk bands are now old guys, and some of them are still doing it, but a lot of times, you know, a lot of members leave and you'll see that drummer having to be back there playing all those fast songs, and a lot of times it's some new young guy.
Yeah.
So imagining trying to do some of these songs at that age as a drummer, I don't know about that. That seems, it would be nice, I guess, in a way, but I don't know how realistic that is.
Well, stay healthy.
I'm trying, but
I mean, look, it's the drummer is usually the first person to not die, but go, as far as maybe retiring, because it's so taxing and so physical.
Yeah, Oh yeah, like I said, there are days that, you know, it's usually early on in the tour, like those first couple shows. Like there are like days when I've just like it'll be our first day off or something, and I'm just barely rolling out of my bunk and just like hobbling around the bus, and everything's hurting, and yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher, and the wrists are feeling worse all the time.
This is such a fun interview. Have you ever been in the middle of a live set and thought, I don't know that I can finish this set tonight?
Kind of. I've gotten close to that. Thankfully never anything too bad. Is like, you know, you the trick is to kind of find ways to adapt a little bit here and there. If you're just like, oh, this wrist is really hurting or something, it's like, you know, maybe you're playing a pattern on the ride that's supposed to be where you're like, I can go, nobody's gonna notice, you know, take those little shortcuts here and there if you need to.
Now, when you change it up like that, does everyone in the band turn around and look at you like, what are you doing?
No, because that's what I'm saying is like these tweaks are usually like very minor. Okay. That like someone would really have to be like watching very closely, and even then might not catch on.
All right. Let's move on to another track.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the fuck we are. Why the language? Why are we?
Hey, man. I don't write the lyrics.
All right, here it is. Everybody, MotionCitySoundtrack.com for all your Motion City Soundtrack needs. Go buy this thing. Here's what I say. Stream it. And then when you love it, go buy it.
Yeah.
Buy that physical copy.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It just looks nice, too.
Yeah, the album cover art is very cool. I'm hesitant to even ask you who did it because you probably don't know.
I do, but can I pull the name at this moment? Probably not.
Okay.
Look at the liner notes.
Okay. How does the, do you have anything to say to do with the album cover art? Like, do you guys have like a bunch of different ideas and you vote on it, or how's that go?
Yeah, again, it depends on the record. In this case, there was an artist that somebody, had befriended, I guess, that, had talked to about working with to do the record, and like had an idea, and again I just, yeah, again I'm technically involved in that, but for me it's, I'm just kind of like, I saw it, I was like, yeah, looks great. Hey, I
I like the
you know, I play in a band to play in a band.
All right.
Like, it's, I like the playing parts, and the rest of the stuff is like, you know, I'm not uninvolved, but, you know, I feel my place is much better suited in the studio or at the live show.
Is there anything that would get you riled up about, just angry about something that you would have to say your piece?
Well, I'll speak up a lot more. Like I said, in songwriting scenarios or something, okay. Or, you know, or if somebody like is royally screwing up live or something like that.
I'm not going to ask who that might be. I don't want to start a fight. By the way, listening to that last song, You Know Who the Fuck We Are. Justin's voice just sounds so great still. Really,
yeah.
Really keeping the pipes up.
Yeah, we were lucky enough last year. We had done a tour, and our keyboard player was unable to do that tour. And so we had this girl fill in for him. Jesus Christ, why am I forgetting everyone's name today? Her name is Kate.
Well, you know she's a girl.
Kate Steinberg, that's her name. I couldn't think of her last name, but she filled in on keyboards, but she also is a vocal coach. So she worked with Justin a lot on that tour to kind of help him maintain and warm up properly and stuff. And then, she actually sings on a song or two on the record as well. So I think she was very helpful with all that.
Very nice. Very nice. Now I just want to tell you, I have a little trivia for you. With this new album, Motion City Soundtrack now has more studio albums than Guns N' Roses. So just so you know.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Now, and we're counting Use Your Illusion as two different records?
And we're counting that as two records also.
Okay.
Still,
right.
You're still crushing it.
Interesting. All right.
I just find it funny that Guns N' Roses has so little studio material and they're still out there all the time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I think that's why I was a little bit nervous about making new stuff, is I think sometimes these bands, you know, continue on and keep making new stuff, but a lot of times then the people that come to the shows, they don't really care about that new stuff, and a lot of them won't buy the record or even check it out, and then they'll just come to the show and want to hear the old stuff. So, you know, there's always that in the back of my mind a little bit. Like, are people, I think that's what I was nervous about, is are people going to still care?
I feel like your fans are different. I feel like your fans,
I hope so,
are clamoring for something new.
They seem very excited, and the response has been really good so far. And even the handful of new songs that we've been playing, like, we've been shocked at like how loud they've been for those, singing along already and stuff. So, yeah.
How many songs in a set list right now? How many songs do you play?
We're usually around, it's like somewhere in the ballpark between like 18 to 20-ish.
All right. And then how many songs from a new record will slip in there? Four?
The shows that we did right when the record came out, the release week shows, I think we were doing four new ones. Upcoming tour, TBD. Still, right. We haven't really discussed that at length yet.
All right. I mean, four is a good number, but
yeah.
You know, when I go see a band I like, I do like to hear the new material. I mean, you know, I don't want them to not play their biggest song for instead of something new, but I like when you just, you know, gradually mix it in there.
Yeah. I like a mix. We try to really give a mix. We tend to try and be mindful of like, all right, do we have a couple from most of the records at least? Yeah. So
yeah, a little bit from each album, from each era. Now, the album that you don't play on, do songs from that make it into the mix?
Usually not, but sometimes. The tour we did last year, we were doing one. I think I've only even played two songs from that record before.
And is that just because you didn't play on that record? Is that why? Or do the guys not care for that album?
I don't think it's that they don't care for it. I think it's just, we just haven't. And honestly, the record before that, Go, we don't tend to play a ton from that one either. Those are our two least popular records.
All right.
So I think that's kind of part of it, is we're just, and like, there's a lot of songs we do like, and sometimes there might be a song that you love, but then when you play it live, it just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't hit right sometimes. Like, maybe it feels boring to you, or the crowd seems kind of bored during it and stuff. So there's that factor sometimes.
All right. All right. Let's hear something called Downer. Is this going to be a downer?
No, it's quite the opposite, actually. This one nearly destroyed my leg playing this bass drum part for 3 minutes.
Oh, boy. Here it is. Enjoy it.
Can't stop. Gotta get up and run.
Whoop.
Never ever show emotions, non-stop talk, slow down, and you'll never get back on track. Attack from all directions. New street, feel the rhythm beneath your feet. Apathetic, obsessive, try to leave a tattoo. It's the Enneagram displays, and I'm always exhausted. My hands are tied to time.
it down.
So you said this one crushed your leg trying to play it. Will you be playing this one live?
We'll see. I'm definitely dreading it a bit. I really do like the song a lot, but no joke. Like when we tracked that song, like by the end of the night, I had a bit of a limp. And it's just because it's just pretty much relentless for 3 minutes. And, you know, I kind of did that to myself in a way. That will be one that would benefit me to sit and play that one a lot by myself, just to build up that leg that strength muscle to be able to get through it.
Your one leg will be so much bigger than the other because it'll yes. just, you'll build the muscles up.
Unfortunately, that's probably true.
What do you think about Rush going back out and doing shows without, obviously I can't do it with Neil. He's with us. What do you think about that? How's that?
Honestly, this is the first time even hearing about it. I hadn't heard this. That's crazy. I mean, those are quite the shoes to fill.
Wow, I'm glad that I get to give you some news.
Yeah, you gave me that news and this Guns N' Roses news.
The drummer it's a woman who played with Jeff Beck, and her name is, I don't know if I'm going to say either one of her names right, Anika Niles. Do you know who she is?
No, I don't think so.
Huh. And you didn't get the call.
I didn't get the call for that one. Said I was about 35 drums too short.
How many drums in your kit?
4. Nice and simple.
So what do you got? You got a snare?
Snare, rack tom, floor tom, bass drum.
All right. How many cymbals?
I usually do hi-hat, ride, 2 crashes.
All right.
Yeah.
Just basic.
Yeah. That's all you need.
It's all you need, right? It's not, it's not in how many you have. It's what you do with what you have.
Exactly. And I think, I like the smaller setup because I think it kind of forces you to get a little more creative sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like how I like your explanation. Now, is this your personal kit that goes on the road?
That's on the record?
Well, no, that you tour with. Is this like a drum kit that's at your house right now?
It's not at my house, but it's stored with all the rest of the band's gear. I have a few different kits, but usually the one that I'm playing on tour is mine. It's every now and then we might have like a festival show or something that we fly to, and then you have to rent stuff.
Okay.
Usually it's mine.
But when you have to fly to a festival show and rent a kit, since you just use the basic stuff, it's probably easier too, right?
Yeah, it's not too bad. And plus I have with DW, I've had an endorsement deal with them for a long time. So
that's
like
nice.
through them, you know, we kind of get, you know, we can let them know what I need, and then they'll put us in touch with wherever we can get these from. And then, so I'll get, you know, it's usually a pretty close equivalent to what I have already. Yeah.
And if you request a gong, would they bring it?
I don't know. That would be more in the cymbal world, I think. So, but if I asked Sabian for a gong, maybe.
Wouldn't it be cool to just have one but never play it? It's just behind you.
I'm sure our crew would love
me for that. They would hate it. I had something on the tip of my tongue I wanted to ask you and I forgot. Again, guys, the album is out right now, The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World. And I'm going to play the title track, which actually closes out the album, which is instead of opening the album, it closes it out. So let's hear a little bit of The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World.
I used to feel alive parading around the world. Where did all the moments go? I tried to find them, but I just don't know. Crash landed long ago, and I was in some demand. I should have paid attention more instead of waking up on someone's floor. I'm so sick of letting the nostalgia down. I just want to separate the past from now, stay in present tense somehow. Things change, time finds.
It's a great one, too. It's a great way to close the album.
Thank you. And going back to what you asked me earlier, I wasn't even thinking of, that's one I do look forward to playing live. Because that's a fun one. That one, actually, because we didn't hear it there, but it's kind of two songs, and it has it changes feels completely in the second half. It was two separate ideas that I think Justin had come up with, both of the initial parts of the ideas, and then we weren't sure what to do with either one, and then I think they realized, like, oh, those are in the same key and they're roughly the same tempo but with a different feel. Can we put these together? And it worked out really nicely, I think. And I think that I don't know. I really love the feel change in there. We hadn't really done stuff like that before, and it just kind of catches you really off guard the first time you hear it, I think, and I like that about it.
Do you feel that everyone in the band is better now than they were on your first record or when you first started?
Boy, I would hope so, but it's tricky because I actually think about that with just my own playing sometimes, because it's weird because you get to play all the time going on tour, but you play the same stuff all the time.
Okay.
So, like, you're not getting to expand that a lot unless you're doing other stuff at home or with other bands or, you know, until you get into the studio. So I have definitely felt at times like, you know, I feel like I'm in like good playing shape, but I don't feel like I'm like, it's hard to, you know, feel like you're doing anything new when you're just playing that same stuff over and over. So it's hard to say.
All right. So if you've never seen the band live, go out and see them, the mediocre version that's on tour right now. Hey, let's give a shout. Tell us who else is in the band. We've mentioned you and Justin. Tell everyone who's in the band. Let's give a shout out to your buddies.
Yeah. Well, as you said, Justin Pierre sings, plays guitar. And then Josh Kane is our guitar player, Matt Taylor on bass, and Jesse Johnson on keyboards. And then also, if you see us live these days, for the past couple of years and for a little bit still, at least, our friend Zach Comtois has been playing guitar with us because Justin's back has been really messed up for a while, and so he's just been singing on these last several tours. And our friend Zach, who is beyond capable, has been playing Justin's guitar parts.
All right. Does Justin have to sit then during the show, or?
No, it doesn't sit, but it's just, I guess, really a lot of the issue is literally the holding of the guitar for a long time. Yeah.
All right. So he's comfortable traveling in the bus and sleeping on the bus. Everything's comfortable that way.
Comfortable might be a strong word, but he's getting through it. Yeah.
Well, you guys travel on a tour bus.
We do, usually, yes.
And tell me what that's like. It seems like fun, but maybe it's fun when I'm 20 and not now.
It's mostly good. You know, there's like with everything, there's the good and the bad. But the great thing about it is to just, you know, play the show afterward, just go to the bus, go to bed when you want, wake up, you're in the next city. That's always been like the great part about it. Not have to deal with those drives yourself. You just sleep through them. But, you know, it is, while a bus is large, you know, you get 10 to 12 people on there sometimes, and it's, you know, it's pretty full then. And those are the annoying times, is when everyone's on the bus, and sometimes you're like, there's nowhere for me to really go unless I just go in my bunk because the lounge is taken up. So, like, sometimes it is a bummer, like, if you wake up early one day and the bus is still moving, maybe you're not to the destination yet, but then if everyone else is up, then truly sometimes you're like, I literally have nowhere to go because the lounge is taken up, I can't get off the bus because we're still going. And you feel a little trapped every now and then, but those days are rare.
And our partners and spouses, are those people on the bus also sometimes,
but not too often. Okay. And I think it used to happen a little more when we were younger, but I think now we've been doing it so long that I think everyone's girlfriends or wives, for the most part, a lot of times they're just like, I don't need to do that. Yeah. I don't think they necessarily love doing it.
All right. Again, everybody that's listening, The Same Old Wasted Wonderful World is out right now. All formats. You can get some colored vinyl, CDs, Stream it everywhere. And 11 songs, 35 minutes. You are going to love it. Let me ask you about your bass drum head. Are we going to see the album cover art on that bass drum? Do you guys do that?
We do that sometimes. That has not been discussed, and I hadn't even thought about that. But I would say that's very likely.
All right. Yeah, let's get that going, because it's beautiful album cover artwork. I don't know how to describe it to the people listening, but you'll see it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Now, thank you. Let me put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. I live in North Carolina now.
Yeah, I was going to say something about that, which I had no idea until you said something about that to me recently.
So on January 28th, you're coming to the Fillmore in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances I get to come to that show?
Well, do you have a car?
Well, I do. I mean, I don't want the bus to swing by my house.
Okay, well, that's a plus. So we're off to a good start here.
Well, look, I know I can go to the show.
I didn't know how literal you're being here.
What are the chances I come say hi to Tony Thaxton at that show?
I'd say that's probably pretty high. Yeah.
Well, I'll text you about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be in touch. We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. Tony, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Are you still doing your podcast?
I have been on an indefinite hiatus. That's probably just a permanent hiatus, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I loved doing it for a long time, but I just got a little burned out after a while.
But the episodes still live out there for people to hear.
Most of them do. A few have gotten yanked down for some copyright reasons, I guess. But
do you want to give a shout out so people can go listen to your old episodes?
Sure. Yeah. It was called Bizarre Albums. And I always just each week there were short episodes, like 15, 20 minutes long. And it was always just about a record that was released by some sort of celebrity or fictional character or athlete, you know, just things like that. And just kind of did tons of research on all of them to see who played on them and why it happened and how it happened and all that, because I've just kind of always been fascinated with that stuff.
Yeah, it's a fun show, and you would have probably never run out of Bizarre Albums. You could still be doing it.
Yeah, there's still plenty out there. It's just like I had gotten to the point too where I was like, okay, at least of the ones I know of, I've kind of done all the ones I really wanted to get into. And, you know, every now and then you'd stumble across one that's like, oh, this one actually is a hidden gem that I didn't know about. But yeah, I just got a little overwhelmed with everything and life and all that. And so decided to take a break, and then I just haven't come back.
That's okay. It's always there. You could always come back to it. And I think the thing is, a lot of people don't think that podcasting is hard work. I think they just think you turn some mics on and you're off and running. And that's not the case.
No, and it was really not the case with this show, because it took a lot of research. And, it was not an easy show to put together.
And then after you record it, then you got to do the post production and all that kind of stuff, and then upload it. And people just think it's just happy. You just turn the mic on, you talk, it's done. It's not.
Yep.
It's not how it is.
Nope. Not at all. No.
All right, Tony. Continued success with the new album.
Thank you.
Have a great tour. I'm going to see you in January. And as the playout song, you have chosen a song called
Melancholia.
Melancholia.
It's one of my personal favorites from the record.
All right. I love it. Now, look, a lot of people will not choose their favorite song because they're all your babies. But Tony doesn't care. He's telling me this is the one he loves.
Yep.
So with that, everyone, please enjoy Melancholia. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
Disaster at every turn. One broken heart and an awful pern. Daydreaming in Joshua Tree. Kicking back whiskey and herbal tea. Software up.
didn't change a man who was cardigan.
Great to see you. You look for
great to see you.
You look exactly the same.
Well, I appreciate that because I'm not.